This is Levi. I'm sitting here with Travis and Nathaniel. And we're going to be talking today about prayer, something that's, I think, very important to all of us who are followers of Jesus, that we are able to have the privilege as children of God to come boldly before his throne. And I think it's also been something that keeps coming up in conversation for me anyway, with people, is that they're just praying for our country and just praying for whatever political bent that they personally have, just the unrest that is here right now. I was talking with one of my friends who is a follower of Jesus, and he said, you know, I'm even just praying about the country and stuff. And he's like, but it's not worse than it was in the first century with Nero, when Nero was in leadership. I thought it was just an interesting point.
Yeah, because Nero, not a good guy. He was not benevolent and loving and, yeah, taking care of his people necessarily, when he's burning like a quarter of Rome and blaming it on the Christians and then all that other fun stuff.
Using them as tiki torches. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. So I imagine the prayer life of the first century Christians was fairly good, because we tend to pray when we need God. But as we're talking about what prayer is, it's, yeah, important to think through some of the stuff, because it's not just asking for what we want. It's a relationship, and talking with God about things that are going on in our lives, sharing with him our struggles, sharing with him our anxieties, and really laying them on him, because he can handle it. And establishing that relationship where we recognize we're speaking to the God of the universe, and he has all the capacity and resources to take care of whatever is on our mind. And so being able to just communicate with him and trust him in those times, it's a good grounding experience when we pray.
And I think that's one of the cool and unique things about it, is that we can connect right to the Father. You know, we can share our heart. He knows what's going on with us, but we have that opportunity to be able to, like you said, just share your heart with him and talk to him. There's not many relationships that you can have that are going to be really fruitful and good if you're not talking and in communication. So I think prayer's an important component of your relationship with the Lord.
I think in the culture in which we live, the fast pace, get her done, always be entertained, prayer, I think, is probably one of the things that is difficult for many of us. I admit sometimes that is the thing that I don't do as often as I should. So I don't have time. I got to go to work. I got to go do this. I got to write a sermon. I got to meet with this person. I got to do this thing or that thing. And I think this generation, I think our inability to focus, especially in prayer, is actually problematic.
Yeah. Well, and there's two sides to that, right? Like, we're super busy, so I find myself just squeezing it in when I can. Usually that's right before I go to bed and I fall asleep mid-prayer. So that's my bedtime story for myself. I don't know that God appreciates that a ton.
It is a good way to make sure you sleep, though, right?
It is.
Remember when you were
true.
A kid? Yeah. What was the thing? Now I lay me down to sleep.
Yeah, the horrible one.
My soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Yeah, who thought that was a good idea for a little kid?
It's kind of like the nursery rhymes that are all kind of like evil. Like,
yeah.
Ring Around the Rosies is about the plague.
And yeah.
Yeah. We have little kids like, dancing around in circles, singing about the plague.
I'll fall down.
Yeah. We're all dying. Anyway, a little off topic.
But I mean, I think there's moments too, like, where it's good just to be able to connect with God in that way with the time that you do have. Not to say or mitigate that we shouldn't do the quick hitters, I've got 5 minutes in my drive here, so I'm going to pray. That's a good thing to do. But I think, like you were talking about, Levi, it's also important that we set aside specific intentional time just to slow down and not just talk to God, but to listen to him too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed studying John Calvin when I was in seminary. One of his institutes, it talks about his prayer life. He leaned on, is it 1 Thessalonians 1:5, pray without ceasing? I think that's right.
Somewhere around there?
No, it's not. It's 5:17. I don't know if that really matters, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And he took that actually to heart. And so he had kind of a principled prayer life that he did on a continual basis. So when he woke up, he prayed for love. Before he went to actual work, he prayed for perseverance. Midday, he'd pray for presence and recollection, because I think all of us, I thought that was just an awesome one, because like that I'm fully present in my job, in what I'm going to go do, whether it be with my family or whether it be at my job, and that I would have recollection, because I know about 3 o'clock I get a little sleepy. And he was praying that God would give him that endurance to make it through. And then he would end his day kind of that evening time for the people that he had met or he had dealt with in that day. And then his final prayer, your sleepy time prayer, was that he would get rest so he could do it again and that he could work for the kingdom of God. And I thought that was just a really interesting pattern in his prayer life, but it was a principled pattern of prayer in his life.
And I think those things are super good to develop those habits so that they become a habit, where it does take some discipline to get involved in those things. And maybe you need to have a buddy that kicks you in the pants once in a while to get you motivated to do that. We did this one thing, one of my seminary classes, where I had to intentionally 3 times throughout the semester sit for an hour in quiet, praying and listening. And it sounds maybe not that bad to you guys, but that was super hard. And
you are the most ADD of us all, so yes.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true. But, you know, I kind of dreaded that when I was on the syllabus when we started the class, and I waited until the last week to get that done. Actually, it was the last 2 days that I did it. And but it was actually really cool. Like just to so you'd start, you had like 10 minutes of a scripture passage to read, then you reflected on a little bit and then just prayed and listened and waited for God to talk. And that was a really cool time.
I think when you direct your prayers, like there's times where I get stuck in prayer and then I'll just open my Bible and start reading a lot of times in the Psalms and those types of things, because there's these pictures of kind of their plight of life where they're struggling, but then they always come back, if you read the Psalms, to the glory of who God is. Mm-hmm. And being able to read through a passage of scripture and just allow the Spirit of the living God to speak and to begin to pray over those things for you, that in your life or for that in your friends or family life, is, I think, really gratifying, but also I think pleasing and a blessing to God when you're using his very words in your prayer life.
Yeah, that's good, because I think one of the things that we can do is start kind of being repetitive in our prayers and praying the same thing over and over again, like the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a great prayer, obviously. Jesus gave it to us.
How do you do that?
And it was his way of teaching us how to pray. But there's nothing special about those words. It's formulaic and helps us to think through, okay, well, we should recognize God is in command, all powerful. We should want his power, his influence in this world. We should look to him for our provision. But there's nothing special about any certain words. And that's why I like what you were saying. Go to scripture, think about what it's saying, and pray about like that scenario in your life. What is going on in your life that mirrors that? And really ask God to intervene and be a part of it, because ultimately this is about having a relationship, making sure that we're seeking God's direction and all that, and communing with him on all of that, recognizing, hey, we can go to God about our work stuff. We can go to God about our relationship stuff. We can go to God about parenting and kids stuff. We can go to God about, I don't know, sports events.
I got a phone call from a lady this past week. We gave a kingdom challenge, and one of them was to pray for somebody else. And we said that it's just part of the kingdom of God, that we would recognize the needs of other people and begin to pray for them. And she called me to tell me that she began to pray for this person, and what she was praying for actually happened within a week. And she's like, I have no idea why I didn't do that before or didn't believe it. And when it happened, I was almost shocked. Like, God couldn't do that because it seemed too big. And I think oftentimes in our perspectives, the things that we are desiring to talk to God about seem too big in our perspective. And so we don't even ask, because we want to protect God, if you will, in our minds, or maybe even protect the cognitive dissonance that will be in our hearts. Like, why are you not answering this? God always answers our prayers. It may not be how we want or in the timing that we want, but he always does answer it. I think that's one of the things that through the history of the church is people who were connected to prayer really lived in the kingdom and lived it to the full that Jesus called us and invited us into.
Yeah, and maybe you're at a spot in your relationship with God where you don't feel like you deserve to speak with God or commune with him. And I think we all go through those seasons where mm-hmm. we recognize, man, I don't deserve to have this type of relationship that God is offering to me. But we really just need to recognize that Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the one that enables us to have this special relationship. And scripture tells us that we can boldly approach God's throne with this confidence that we can find mercy, which, you know, if we've done stuff that's wrong, then we know we deserve judgment on that. We can approach God confidently that we can receive mercy when we need that mercy and grace in our lives, and that he wants to help us. He wants to be involved in our lives in that. And so if there's anything that's holding you back from communicating with God, don't let it, because God has flung open the doors to his throne room for us to come in and commune with him because of what Jesus did for us on the cross.
I think prayer also, it just reminds us of the gospel. That we were sinners and enemies of God, and that we can now go to Daddy's throne room, and we can have that type of a relationship with him, that we can speak the words of our heart, and we can listen to Daddy as he speaks to us. One of the things that I always loved about Augustine, Saint Augustine, so when we studied him in seminary, was his heart for prayer, but also just understanding the gospel through prayer. One of his prayers, he talked about Christ is the victor because he was the victim. I thought, man, that is just brilliant. What he prayed and what he wrote the prayer down, he says, "How you have loved us, O good Father. You did not spare your only son, but delivered him up for us wicked ones. How you have loved us, the one who did not count it robbery to be equal with you, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He alone was free among the dead. He alone had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. And for us, he became to you both victor and victim, and victor because he was the victim. For us, he was to you both priest and sacrifice, and priest because he was the sacrifice. Out of slaves, he makes us your sons because he was born of you and did not serve us." And it's this beautiful picture, I think, of the gospel and him recognizing Jesus in his life, but that thanksgiving in that prayer.
For me, we start talking about prayer, and sometimes you think it has to be this really beautiful word portrait like Augustine just laid out there, which is awesome. And I can get wrapped up in that stuff where it's like, oh, I got to say these things, or I've got something that I need to bring all the big stuff to God. But God cares about the mundane stuff in our lives too. Like Nate, you were talking about prayer for your job or your sports team, whatever that stuff. And those are important things too. But I love how we see Jesus.
Why hasn't the Lions won the Super Bowl? I pray all the time about it.
The answer that God gave me was because of the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry. but I just love that even as we see Jesus's life lived out through scripture, that prayer was his lifeline to the Father. That was his connection point. And it was something that he needed to rely on too, to be able to have that. And we see him use it, as a source of life, as a connection to the Father, as kind of a reaffirmation, as a strengthening tool. And God shows up and hears those things for Jesus. And he does the same for us too. And like Levi, you said that it's not in our time, it's in God's time, but he always answers our prayers. And yeah. There's comfort in that. There's reassurance in that for me.
And I find when I'm like good and praying and talking to God about stuff, God will do things. And I think God does things in our lives all the time. But I think when we pray, we're like more in tune to it. We can see it more clearly. And that's at least what I've noticed in my life. As I'm praying about things, I begin to see a little bit more and more of God working. And so it's only a greater source of encouragement and seeing that God is there. He does care about what's going on in my life. And so it's this huge source of encouragement, like you were talking about there, Trav.
It's a source of power too, because when I'm struggling with those things, if I just try to to toughen up and muscle it on my own, I fail more than not. But if I go to the Lord and I bring it to him and I'm like, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. It's not a snap of the fingers and everything's perfect. But when I face that thing that I'm struggling with and not having patience with my kids or my wife, like the more that I'm praying about that, the more God's filling up that tank and giving me the strength to persevere through those things.
Well, even praying for your spouse, not that they're just changing, but that they would see things clearly the way God sees it. Mm-hmm. And that you would see clearly also, like, you know, our spouses, like everyone else's spouses, kind of annoy us. And, I know I annoy my wife at times, and I know my wife prays for me at times. And there's a revealing of the Holy Spirit that I think happens as she's praying for me. It's not always just a direct confrontation, but it's this, heart confrontation that she's praying about and seeing God work through that. And I think that encourages her, God can work in my heart, and also just that her prayers are being answered in those things. And so I think sometimes it's just praying for another person, learning to just to wait on the Lord to do some of those things in someone else's life.
And often when we pray for other people, God's revealing in our hearts our condition. Like I want my wife to change sometimes. And I'll be honest, I pray for that she would, you know, not be grumpy at me sometimes. And God's like, but guess what? You're being a knucklehead. So he reveals things to us when we pray for other people too. But he also gives us the strength to work through some of those situations. I'll share. We had a good argument discussion the other night, and I prayed on my way home that I just would have patience. And she had a really hard day, and I didn't know that. And I got home and I just let her talk. And that was that. Like, it was time to be done. And I said, I still love you and I'm not mad. And I didn't, this is non-typical for me, but I didn't even like try to fight back that night. I just was listening to her, and God gave me that strength. The Holy Spirit was moving and working in that one. But it's opened up the door for some really good conversations for us about how we can be praying for each other was one of those things, but how we can argue well too.
Yeah. And I think kind of going back to the very beginning of the intro to this idea of prayer. Prayer allows us to kind of let go of some things and allows God the opportunity to work, I think, where we really have no influence, where we really can't do what needs to happen and that kind of thing. And so as we think about our country and are concerned about different things or whatever, we might not have a place where we can make any type of influence over the direction, the culture, or what have you. But prayer is where we can. Prayer is where we can hand those things over to God, and God can work and do what he does best, which is turn people's hearts back to him and change the hearts and minds of men. That's one of the biggest things, I think, in this situation where we talk about, you know, there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of uncertainty and stuff like that. Well, our best weapon is prayer. God is the one that we can rely on and go to for that. And he will do far more than we think that's even possible or could imagine.
Yeah, I think all through culture and time, people have been going to God because of their hearts needing something and needing the peace that God can bring the answers to certain things. It's not always what they want, but it is always what God is. He's at work and he's doing things and he's moving in certain things. And I'm just fascinated by our brothers and sisters that have passed from this world and how their prayer life took place. And some of them did it through writing. Some of them did it through repetition. Some of them did it through, what do you call it? Freestyle prayer. So, but I like to close with a prayer from Jerome. And he said this, "O good shepherd, seek me out and bring me home to your fold again. Deal favorably with me according to your good pleasure, till I may dwell in your house all the days of my life and praise you forever and ever with those who are there with me." It's a prayer of Jerome from 342. Hey, thanks for listening. Get out there and pray. And we'll be praying for you and with you. And if you have any questions, Travis@evangelup.org.